And so we decided to put up some updated, some newer pictures of some of the things that happened in 2018. So I'm really excited about what we're going to be doing by faith this year. Back to the video. You know, I love his premise that the God of the Bible is not limited. The God of the Bible is this massive, amazing, huge, infinite being that created the universe. And if we really could rationalize in our little brains who he really is, if we could totally grasp every aspect of him, right? He wouldn't really be a God worth worshiping. Right? He has to be outside of time, space, matter. He has to be outside of this world. He has to be, again, out of this world. You know, and that's what he is. He's the cosmic creator. He is the supreme being. But on top of that, he chose to make us. He chose to make a universe. You know, like Richard talked about in the contribution portion, God doesn't need anything from us. God isn't incomplete without us. God wasn't lonely. Right? You had the Father, the Son, and the Spirit in this eternal relationship of love and fellowship. He wasn't lonely. But God chose to make us. And not only did he choose to make us, he chose to make this earth and this universe. And he didn't just sort of whimsically do it. He thought about it. He planned it out. And so, you know, last week we talked about Hebrews 11. We're going to be going through these stories all year long. We're going to have a series on by faith. And the very first verse, the very first story that is referenced is here in Hebrews 11:3. By faith, we understand that the universe, that word there can mean the cosmos, or it can mean the worlds, or it can mean the ages. It has a reference in Jewish thought to both time and space. Okay, so by faith we understand that the universe, the cosmos, was created by the word of God, so that what is seen was made from things not visible. And so as we talk about by faith, I think one of the first realizations we have to get is that God was the first one to have faith. He thought, I'm going to make something amazing. I'm going to make something visible, something tangible, something that can be seen from what is unseen. God took a chance. I'm going to make these beings, these imperfect beings, and I'm going to love them. And I'm going to create an awesome world for them. And I want them to love me back. He had faith that this could be an amazing place. And so as we go through today, what I really want us to focus on, last week the overall message was just by faith, and we talked about the fun part and the hard part. Today I want to talk about by faith. There we go. We on? There we are. God is good. Because when you really think about it, he had to be good. He had to be great. He had to be righteous. He had to be holy to even want to decide to deal with us. Because again, he wasn't lonely. He wasn't alone. Right? But he chose to make us. And so, because we understand that God is good, that ought to give us faith to go through any challenge that we come across. So let's read here in Genesis chapter 1. We're going to read the first 5 verses of Genesis. It says, in the beginning, God created the heavens and the earth. Now the earth was formless and void, and darkness was over the surface of the deep. And the Spirit of God was moving over the surface of the waters. Then God said, let there be light. And there was light. God saw that the light was good, and God separated the light from the darkness. God called the light day, and the darkness he called night. And there was evening and there was morning one day. Very first verse in the Bible, perhaps the, you know, maybe outside of John 3:16, the most quoted verse, the most known verse, you know, in history. Say this with me. In the beginning, God created the heavens and the earth. You know, this is, to me, one of the most profound statements in all of history. God is agent. God is not just a creator. God is the creator. Lots of cultures and societies over the years have come up with different creation stories. But when you really understand and when you really get this, that the God of the Bible, the God of this word, is the creator, you know what that means? It means that we matter. He's not like Zeus, who's petty and jealous and doesn't even exist, right? He's not like Quetzalcoatl, if you know about pre-Columbian societies, that they had to do a sacrifice, you know, in this blood ritual to create life. He's not like Gaia or whatever other creation story idea you might have heard. He is ultimately good. He is Elohim. He is Yahweh. He is the creator that loves and cares about each of us. And so what this means, what this ought to do, is motivate us to say we can live by faith because we know who he is. Try a little experiment here. So if you look at these plates, all of them are turned over. And if you take about 15 seconds, hopefully this will work on a big screen too. Some of them are upside down. But after you just keep staring at it for a while, you're going to see all of them are suddenly upside down or inside out, whichever way you looked at it from the first perspective. And so when you look at something like this, I always think about it's fascinating because it's the fact that God designed our brains to see patterns. Why do your eyes do this? It's because God designed us to see things and your brain tries to make sense of the world that it sees. God has designed us to recognize patterns and shapes and ideas, and he created us to be intelligent beings. And so when we look out at nature, when we look out in the world, it speaks of a creator. You know, I got this phone here. I need a new one. It's busted. Screen's croaked. Several of you have commented on it. When you look at this, you don't think, that just sort of fell out of the sky. You say, somebody created it. It fell out of the what? It fell out of my pocket onto the ground, and thus it shattered. Yes. You know. But even when you look outside, you don't say, this just sort of came from nowhere. When you see a tree there, you think, this had a beginning. This had a start. When we look at our little mustard seed, when Jesus made that example that it takes just a tiny amount of faith, this mustard seed grows to one of the biggest trees you've ever seen. But when we look even at creation, Romans 1 talks about this, it speaks of who God is. You remember that movie Jurassic Park? And remember the part when they're in the car and the dinosaur's there and the light flashes in the dinosaur's eye and his pupil, you know, gets smaller? You know, God thought about that. Our eyes need to be able to determine how much light is in a room or not. Our eyes actually do that. God thought about the fact that, you know, these human beings are clumsy individuals. They're going to trip. They're going to fall. They're going to get hurt sometimes. I need to put this thing inside them, this blood, where they can heal themselves. God thought about, man, I'm going to make all these plants and they're going to give off oxygen and humans are going to breathe out carbon dioxide and feed the plants. Somebody thought about that. And so when we understand that it is the God of the Bible, it ought to give us great faith. Try another experiment here. Everybody close your right eye. Close your right eye. Now open it. Now close your left eye. Now open it. It's amazing how quickly your brain works. We don't see double because both of our eyes are open. And you close one and open them back and it's not like a fuzzy image. Think about how quick your brain works to adjust. God designed us to see him in the mundane and the everyday things of life. You know, I wanted to, speaking of eyes, just thank all of you. My daughter, Noelle, she had eye surgery a couple weeks ago, and I was very nervous about it. It was a very just challenging situation. Thank you so much for everybody that prayed. The surgery went great. We had one follow-up appointment. We're going to have another follow-up appointment in a couple weeks. But it was very interesting. When we went to the follow-up appointment, he said something that was so profound to me, the doctor. He says, you know, right now, it's a week after the surgery, right now, her eyes aren't totally straight yet. He said, as a matter of fact, if they were, I'd be worried. He said, after that kind of crazy trauma on your body, it shouldn't just be everything in order. It shouldn't be business as usual. If they were, it would mean that the muscle is detached. Okay, so over the next couple of weeks, as your muscles realize everything's okay, the stress and the trauma is over, her eyes will come right into line. And I thought, you know, life is the exact same way. Last week we talked about the hard part and the fun part of faith. You know, when you go through something, if you're just acting normal right afterwards, if you go through a traumatic experience, if you go through the hard part of faith, and you're just business as usual, normal right afterwards, it could mean that you're detached. God designed us to feel. This creator, he feels. Says he, it grieved him when he sees sin in the world. Said Jesus wept. Jesus gave up loud cries and tears. The God of the Bible is a God who has feelings and heart and cares, and we do too. And so the thing is, even when you go through something that's that difficult, when you understand fundamentally that God is good, it can give you the faith you need to get through it. Verse 2, it talks about, you know, when the earth was formless and void and darkness was over the surface of the deep and the Spirit of God was moving over the surface of the waters. So I'm a language person. Lots of you know. I used to be a Spanish professor, and it's really cool. I would bring Genesis 1 into my Spanish class. I actually never got in trouble for it, which is really cool. But the thing is, when you look at this in Spanish, it has something that is very hard to capture in English, because for my Spanish speakers in here, those of you in high school that have studied it, you know, there's this really hard concept called the imperfect and the preterite. El imperfecto y el pretérito. He's shaking his head. He remembers. This is one of the hardest concepts in language sometimes to get. Because in English, we just have the past. Stuff happened. But in other languages like Greek and like Spanish and like Portuguese, you've got two different ways, more or less, to talk about the past. Try to explain it, bring it down to layman's non-Spanish speaker terms. If I say I walked to the store, done over, completed action. Necessarily don't need more information. But if I started off a conversation saying, I was walking to the store, well, then you lean in. And, you know, you're like, what happened next? And so this verse in Genesis 1:2, it's used in that tense. That's more like I was walking to the store. And so what happens is this part right here is what confounds scientists and theologians for so many years, because we don't know how long this was going on. God created the heavens and the earth, and it says the earth was formless. For how long? We don't know. And void. It was without shape, and God was just hanging out, hovering over the waters. We don't know how long. Right? It could have been millennia. We just don't know. And so the point is, we can have faith that, again, God is a timeless being. It's so interesting. One thing that's great to think about, you know, people try to determine the earth of the age. It's incalculable, and here's why. You know, looking at this idea that we don't know how long it was around. But another interesting idea I want you to think about, you know, when God formed Adam, we're going to look at that in a second, he was a complete grown man when he formed him. He came out as a grown man. He made him as a grown man. He didn't make him as a zygote, and then he grew. I mean, as far as we know, he's a grown man, is the impression that we get. So if God made Adam with the appearance that he was already, I don't know, 30 years old, maybe when God made Earth, it had this appearance that it had already been around for millennia. We just don't know. We don't know. And it's so interesting because scientists keep trying to figure out why. And they keep looking for life and water and other habitable planets. You know, they haven't really found one yet. Despite lots of speculation, they haven't found another habitable planet. Here's why. Because the Earth is the only place that God went and then decided to terraform. Every other planet is formless and void. You've got planets full of gas. You've got planet like Mars that's just a big rock. The moon is just a big rock. God never said, as far as we know, I'm gonna do something with these other planets. God chose to do something here. God chose to step in. And that's what you read about in verses 5 through 13. God starts doing stuff on this planet. And so by faith, we understand that one as powerful and as creative as God made us and cares for us. So the earth is formless and void. God starts putting things into motion. And then God says, let there be light. And there was light. God saw that the light was good, just as God is good. And God separated the light from the darkness. So God creates light here, up here in verses 3 and 4. Look down at verse 14 in Genesis chapter 1. This blows my mind. So right up here, God creates light. But then, down in verse 14, it says, then God said, let there be lights in the expanse of the heavens to separate the day from night, and let them be for signs and for season and for days and for years, and let them be for lights in the expanse of the heavens to give light on the earth. And it was so. God made the two great lights, the greater light to govern the day and the lesser light to govern the night. He made the stars also. You know, so God creates light up here, but then he doesn't create the sun until some days later. What's up with that? God was creating the concept of light in verse 3. God is about process. If he'd have just made a big ball of gas, I don't know, would it have emitted light? We don't know. But God was thinking through everything that he was doing. So, you know, I can imagine God's excitement when he's making all these different things. He's like, but I'm not done yet. And he's getting around to, I'm going to make this being. But so he goes on, he makes plants, he makes animals, and then he gets to man. You might have seen this week on Facebook, they've been doing the how much have you aged challenge. You know, it's, and what this is people, they tell you, post the first picture, your oldest picture on Facebook, and then post a picture of you now. Right? And so, yeah, exactly. to see how long it's been, to see how much we've aged. And so it's been really interesting looking at some people's pictures and comments. You know, one friend of mine said, let me all save you some time. Yes, we all got fat. you know, I had another friend, you know, saying, yes, some of you, it looks like you haven't aged today. Take these pictures down. You're just making me jealous. But it's really interesting. While I was searching around on Facebook and looking at all these pictures, you know, I actually found Adam and Eve's Facebook account. And I came across their first photo. And so what they decided to put up for their first photo was their baby pictures. You know, it's so interesting. You see sometimes these drawings of Genesis, and it's like, why do Adam and Eve have belly buttons? How could they have belly buttons? Right? Let's look down in verse 26 through 27, talking about the creation of man. Oh, there we go. Then God said, let us make man in our image according to our likeness, and let them rule over the fish of the sea and over the birds of the sky and over the cattle and over all the earth and over every other creeping thing that creeps on the earth. God created man in his own image. In the image of God, he created him. Male and female, he created them. After the idea that God made the heavens and the earth, to me, this is, again, one of the most profound statements in all of history, that God made us in his image. We are like him. If you ever wonder if this is true, hang out with little children. Here's a pitch. Volunteer in kids' classes. Yeah. You know, the thing about little children that is so amazing is they really just want to be friends with, like, everybody. You know, every time I go pick up my daughter from school, she's waving. She just likes to wave at people and have them wave back. I mean, that's how children are. God made us just like he is good. God made us inherently to be good. God wants us to be good. You think about children, they don't care about race. They don't care about money. They don't care about politics. And unless it's from your own indoctrination, they don't care about sports teams. You know? There are times when my team will lose and I'll just be in a bad mood, and Noelle's just la la la, like nothing, like my world just ended when my team lost, you know, and Noelle's just running around like nothing happened. It's because, again, when you look at children, you look at that, that's who God designed us to be. We are made in his image. Republicans are made in God's image. Democrats are made in God's image. Communists are made in God's image. Blacks are made in his image. Whites are made in his image. Hispanics, Asians are all made in his image. Gay people are made in God's image. People you don't like are made in God's image. Murderers It's been a crazy week, you know, just people didn't already maybe know. Some really disgusting stuff came out about this singer, R. Kelly. Yeah. And who he is and who he was. And as disgusting as a human being as he is, he's made in God's image. You will never look into the eyes of someone that God doesn't love. And so when we understand fundamentally that by faith, God is good, that behooves us, that moves us to love other people. Here's the difficulty. We're made in God's image, but we don't always reflect it. That was the beauty of Jesus. And I loved hearing, you know, the welcome and in the communion. And everybody was talking about Byron. You know, we're just talking about Jesus. That's what we're here to talk about. We're here to talk about Jesus. You know, the beauty of him in Hebrews 1, it talks about he's the exact representation of God's being. So he was not only made in God's image as a man, he was God in the flesh. And he reflected it. That's the problem. We don't always reflect it. Right. We give in to some of these sins. We struggle with some of these things. We don't always reflect God's image. But despite that fact, we still need to love people because they are made in God's image. They are essentially our brothers and sisters. Some of them, you know, haven't made the decision to sort of come back home. They're just our long lost brothers and sisters out there. And so when you think about God making Adam and Eve, they were made in his image. But the problem is, we don't want to just be made in God's image. We want to be him. It's one thing to want to be like him. It's a completely different thing to want to be him. That was Adam and Eve's problem. Here, you'll be just like God. You'll be gods. And it's the same thing. You know, whether it's our sexual choices, or our choices with substances, or our choices of just selfishness and pride, it's because ultimately we want to make the rules. We want to say, I can live this way. Or we want to let society or culture dictate, this is the way you should live. Or government dictate, this is the way you should live. This is right and wrong. We want to be gods. But we need to decide and understand that we want to be made in his image and we want to be like him. We don't necessarily need to try to be him. He gave us the earth to rule over. We're not ruling over him. You know, so those of you might have seen, you know, Natasha's not here today. The girls, last night she got in a car accident, unfortunately. And she was in the car with Chloe and Noelle and with Leon's daughter, Lizzie. And, you know, I get a call. She says, honey, I just got into an accident. Here's where I am. Can you come get me? Now, everybody's okay. Okay, but can you come get me? But it was just something weird and off in her voice, you know. And so as I'm driving, I'm thinking, did something really happen? And the police just told her, say everything's okay so he doesn't get in an accident trying to speed out here to get to you. And so this whole time I'm just worrying and I'm driving over there and I'm freaking out. And the thing about worry is it's just so stifling. What worry is you having a conversation in your head about things that you can't change. While prayer to the God of the Bible is a conversation with him about things he can change. You know, and admittedly I should have been praying on my way over there, but I'm just worrying as I'm driving over there. And I get there, and it's one thing when you've driven by an accident and you've just got to go around. It's another thing when you see the ambulance, you see the police, you see the lights, and you see the car is totaled. And so I'm driving up, and I'm just like, okay. Ugh, I'm getting emotional thinking about it. You know, what's really going on? I'm worrying. And, I get out there, and everybody's fine. Paramedics and everybody's fine. Minor pains, you know, Natasha's like, don't even tell people because everybody's going to just, you know, be all worried about me. And, you know, I'm fine. I'm just a little sore. But here's the thing. I get there and I'm like, thank you, God. You're so good. But if I had gotten there Or if I had gotten a call from a policeman instead of Natasha, and everything wasn't okay, would that make God less good? Would that make him suddenly not the creator of the universe that decided to make us and care for us and love us? Would that suddenly make him not the one who was willing to give up his own son? And a lot of us in this room have gone through, have gotten calls like that. And it is hard. That's the hard part of faith. That's the hard part of faith. But it doesn't make him less good when things go bad or when things go good. Really cool concept he says here. Let us make man in our image. You know, the idea of the Trinity is right here from the beginning. We're children of the King of the universe, and that's why we get to rule. God prepared us for all of this. So I was thinking, you know, it's actually probably a good idea that God made Adam last. Can you imagine Adam and Eve if they actually saw all of creation? All they would be worried about is, God, we want to be able to do this too. Instead of being able to enjoy paradise, they would have been too busy trying to make paradise. And it's the same way for us. We're so busy trying to make our own comforts and get so much money in, and whoever has the most toys at the end wins. We're trying to, you know, you can't get to heaven from heaven. And it's not that God doesn't want us to be happy, or God doesn't want us to be blessed, or God doesn't want us to have a good life, but he's less concerned about our comfort than he is about our salvation. But we get so busy worrying about, I mean, again, just imagine they'd be like, how'd you make the moon? And how'd you? And they would spend their whole time doing that instead of being fruitful and multiplying and enjoying the fruits of the land. That's why he made those guys last. And so we've got to remember and focus that he is God, he is good, he's the creator. So, little story I heard about creation. So, God, you know, after creation, there's a mule, a dog, and a monkey, and they're sitting there with man, right? So God makes the mule, and he says, all right, you're going to be carrying heavy loads on her back. You're going to be working constantly from dusk till dawn, and you're going to eat grass, but you're not going to be that smart. But here's the deal. You're going to live 50 years. So the mule says, 50 years? That's too much for that kind of life. Can you just, you know, please don't give me any more than 20. And it was so. So God then creates the dog, and he tells the dog, you're gonna watch over man's dwelling, and you're gonna be one of his greatest companions, but you're gonna eat table scraps. You know? You're gonna live about 25, 35 years. The dog responds, 25, 30, that's too long. God, please don't give me any more than about 10 years. And it was so. Finally, God gets to the monkey. He tells him, you know what? You're going to swing from the trees, and you're going to eat bananas, and you're just going to be a fun creature. But most people are going to kind of think you're an idiot. And so he says, but you know what? You're going to live for 30 years. And the monkey said, 30 years is too long to be the clown around here. Please just don't give me any more than 10 years. So finally, man's made, and he says, you're the only rational and intelligent being on the earth. You're going to use your intelligence and master all the creatures of the universe. But you're only going to live for about 20 years. And man goes, 20 years? That's too short. Hey, give me the years that the monkey gave up and the donkey gave up, you know, and the dog gave up. And so God says, all right, I'm going to give you all their years. And so God then says to him, all right, so what's going to happen is you are going to live that first 20 years as a man. But then you're going to get married and you're going to spend the next 30 years working like a mule. After that, you're going to have children, and you're going to spend the next 25 years living like a dog, guarding your house and getting the leftover scraps that the teens have taken from the pantry. And then finally, in your old age, you're going to live out your last 20 or 30 years like a monkey, acting like a clown to amuse your grandchildren. You know, what's the point? We think we know better than God, and we want to change things up. You know, but God is a good God, and that needs to be our ultimate conviction, that by faith, he's a good God. So my first point today, I'm not just getting to it, I'm summing it up now. my first point today is creation. My second and final point, it's a lot shorter. Turn over to Titus chapter 3. We can live by faith because God is good. Point number one is creation. We looked at some aspects of creation today. Point number two is recreation. Look over in Titus chapter 3, and we're going to close out here. We're going to start in verse 3. It says, "For we also were once foolish ourselves, disobedient, deceived, enslaved to various lusts and pleasures, spending our life in malice and envy, hateful and hating one another." It's very similar to the earth was once formless and void. We're just like that unformed earth in our, you know, sort of in our, in the state when we choose to want to be God and live in sin. But it goes on. "But when the kindness of God our Savior and his love for mankind appeared, he saved us, not on the basis of deeds which we have done in righteousness, but according to his mercy, by the washing of regeneration and renewing by the Holy Spirit, whom he poured out on us richly through Jesus Christ our Savior, so that being justified by his grace, we will be made heirs according to the hope of eternal life." This verse right here is literally a retelling of Genesis. It's talking about recreation. That word there, when it says regeneration in the Greek, is palingenesis. It means a new Genesis. We literally get to start over. In Jesus Christ, we get to start over because we're just like the earth. We're formless and void. We're living in darkness. And the Spirit of God is hovering over the waters. You know, today, it's going to be awesome. We're going to see Liz Toth baptized into Christ today. You know, we're going to get to see a new Genesis for her. We're going to get to see a start over. We're going to get to see recreation. Just like in the beginning, there was a spoken word and things came into being. Liz is going to say, "Jesus is Lord." That's going to be a spoken word. And just like in the beginning, the Spirit was hovering over the waters. Spirit's still hovering over the waters. Wait, and add her to the kingdom of God. And so the conviction I want you to take away today is that we can live by faith. We can walk by faith because God is good. And not only is he about creation and earth and elements, he's about recreation. Because we haven't reflected the image of God, he's going to put Jesus on us. So we do. He's going to pour out his Spirit into us. So we do. Okay? So need to get one more round of middle schoolers. I know you're going to the mall today, but we're going to do the baptism first. So right after service, we're going to be having the baptism. So please stay for that. Don't just head on over to the mall. But today, you know, as we go this week and we think about living by faith, okay, as we put our prayers in the jar out there, because we're living by, or keep them in our prayer journal as we're living by faith. As you pray, think about the songs we sang today. His amazing grace. He's a good, good father. He's the great creator. But not only that, he's not just sitting in his rocking chair, made things and doesn't care. He's actively involved. He cares enough to when they run out of wine at a wedding, to turn water into wine. He cares enough about your sicknesses, your ailments, your grades, your friendships, your marriage, your relationship. He cares. He's not just the creator. He's a good, good father. Thank you.